Abraham Lincoln said, "I regard no man as poor who has a godly mother." We were at, Mary and I were in Springfield last week and went to the Lincoln Museum. It was very impressive. I encourage all of you to do that. You can take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. I received an email this week. I wanted to read something to you. I received an email this week from a man named Sean who lives near Johannesburg, South Africa. And he had a list of questions about the one true God and the Trinity. And is there a Trinity? Is there not a Trinity? So I wound up sharing a bunch of scriptures with him. And then he wrote back and thanked me very much for doing that. And then he said this: "Hi, Chuck, thank you for responding to my questions. I will definitely be in touch more often. It is very important for me to find the truth in God's Word, and I have been listening to your teachings now for the last 3 months. They are truly clear, deep, biblical. They are revelation knowledge." And then he goes on and shares about how he would like to start a school for ministers and wants to learn more of the truth. So things are very exciting. The Word is definitely going around the world, just not with a lot of hype. But it is, God's Word goes forth where He wants it to go. Also received emails from the believers that we sent offerings to last week. They want to thank you very much. They bought Bibles and food and medicines and blankets and mosquito nettings. And they wanted me to let you know that they pray for you every day. In fact, one group of believers said they prayed so hard for all of us last week that they were crying as they prayed. So it's really sweet. In our study of 1 John last week, we learned that our lives are to be the expression of God's love and God's truth. We become the children of God by hearing and learning and believing the truth about Jesus Christ. Then through the gift of God's Spirit within us, we can truly love one another, and then that love can reach out to touch the world. So let's read what John says here as we come towards the end of chapter 4 in verse 15. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." Boy, you could do a whole year's worth of teaching just on that. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has a remarkable thing take place in their life. God abides in you. His life, his love is in you through the gift of his Spirit. And it's remarkable to think about the fact that the life of God and the love of God is now a part of who we are. When you wake up in the morning and you stumble, as I do, towards the mirror in the bathroom, and you first look in the mirror, is your first thought as you look in the mirror, "Oh my God," or "Oh my God dwells in me"? Because he does. He abides in us. His love abides in us. And as we grow and mature as Christians, the most wonderful and remarkable thing takes place. We begin to share that love of God and the truth of God's Word with other people. To be concerned with loving people is to really understand the fundamental reason of your salvation. It's so that the love of God, the life of God, can touch another person. You see, when we first become Christians, we're concerned about other matters. We want to know that our sins are forgiven. We want to know that God will answer our prayers. We want to be assured that God loves us. But as we grow and as we mature in our faith, our desire should be more and more to live a life that pleases God. It's not so much about what God can do for me, but about what I can do to please my Heavenly Father. If you love someone, you want to do those things that please Him. We want to live our lives according to God's Word. And we come to understand that a life of love, where we share the love of God with other people in both word and deed, is really the fulfillment of the law. All the law is wrapped up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that wraps up the whole law. And when you get to that point where you're more concerned about loving others than you are about anything else, well, you've come to that moment where love has been perfected in you. Remember I shared, it doesn't mean when John says love is perfected in us, it doesn't mean that we love people perfectly. We're always going to make mistakes. But it means we come to the point in life where the love of God that is in us has actually touched someone else, blessed someone else. That's how that love has been perfected. And when you're living a life like that, where you're really concerned about other people, you have boldness to face a future event that's coming that will affect everybody in the whole world. And that's the day of judgment. Let's look at verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, because we've loved one another, that, here's the purpose, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, I sincerely doubt if there is anyone anywhere in the world who does not know deep down in his or her heart that there is a day of judgment coming. In fact, in some sense, all of us long for a day of judgment to occur. We really do. Deep down inside, we want evil to be punished. We want those who have brought pain and sorrow and agony into the world to get what's coming to them. We all long for that sense of justice. The problem is, we don't want to be judged. We want the other guy to get it, but we don't want to be judged. But we will. A day is coming, a day of judgment, where every single man and woman will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the secrets of their hearts will be revealed. It's as sure as the next breath you take. Hold your breath as long as you want. You're going to have to take that next breath and ignore it all you want. That day of judgment is coming. Now, God revealed to the Apostle Paul in Acts 17 this. He has appointed a day. So it's already marked on the calendar. He has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So there's a day appointed where everyone will be judged. God says it's on the calendar. The judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person who has ever lived or ever will live will face that divine judgment. The unbelieving, the wicked, and those who reject God's offer of salvation will face judgment and they will perish forever. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 states that the God rejectors, quote, shall be punished with everlasting destruction. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Those who hope in God and trust in Jesus Christ shall not perish. They shall have everlasting life. And Jesus makes this statement in the Gospel of John. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And now mark this, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. All of us at the same time, let's do a collective. None of us will ever be judged, ever, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ for your sins. Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But, oh, you knew that was coming too, didn't you? But there is still a day of judgment for us. Not concerning sin that's already been taken care of. We are guaranteed everlasting life in the coming kingdom, but we will face the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be judged on how we lived our lives here and now. And it's a judgment for rewards or loss of rewards. Take your Bible and travel with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The questions that will be asked of us will be like this. What have you done with the truth you have learned? What have you done with the love that I have poured out into your heart by my Spirit? Have you wasted your life, or has love been perfected in you? Did the truth that you know reach to the point in your life where it changed how you live, and did it motivate you to share the good news with other people? We will be judged in how we built our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, the foundation of our lives as Christians is our faith in Christ. Somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Somebody taught you the basic principles of the faith. That's your foundation. But now, what have you built on that? How have you invested your life into the truth? Have you invested more into the things of a world that is passing away? Or have you invested more into the age that's going to come? Verse 12. "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day," that's the day of judgment, "will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." On the day of judgment for us, the word, when it talks about us standing before the judgment seat of Christ, the Greek word for judgment seat is bema. You ever watch the Olympics? And when someone does some kind of sporting event, there's a table or a row where the judges sit. That's the word bema, the judges. Judges in the Olympics don't say, "You failed, off with your head." They just say, "No gold, silver, or bronze for you." So in the same way for the Christian, Jesus Christ is at the bema. He will be judging us, and he'll say, "What you done with your life after you were saved? Were you conformed to the course of this world, or were you transformed by the renewing of your mind? Did you love? Did you give? Did you serve? When you picked up your telephone, did you text Bell and say, 'Have a wonderful God-honoring day,' or did you just not think about another believer all day long? Did you think about how to pray for someone? Did you think about what someone might need? When you were at fellowship and you saw another believer, did you give them a great kiss or give them a hug and say, 'God bless you, you're the best'? Your coworker at work, did you strive to share with them the Word of God?" When I was younger, much younger, about 150 years ago, I worked for the CYO. Anybody know what the CYO is? The Catholic Youth Organization. And the organization that I was in was about as Christian as a football team. And the woman who was my boss, believe it or not, was an atheist. And her name was Joyce. And she was the grumpiest woman in the world. But I'd come in every day into the office before I got my assignment and go off to the other churches and visit the youth groups. And I'd say, "Joyce, I prayed for you today." And she'd go, And then one day, I came into the office and I said, "Joyce, I prayed for you today." And she said, would you pray for me now?" And she had tears coming down her face. And I said, "Sure, what's wrong?" She said, "Oh, everything's just falling apart. My life's falling apart. I feel sick to my stomach. I think I'm going to pass out." So I prayed for her. I came back at the end of the day. She was a whole different person. She said, "You know, I know a lot of Christians, but nobody who would ever really pray for me. You're the first person who loved me enough to tell me every day that you prayed for me. And I would grumble at you and grumble at you and grumble at you, but the love you shared finally broke through to my heart." That's what Jesus will say one day. Was love perfected in you? Will he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord"? Or will you at the bema stand there and go, I got nothing. I got nothing. John says, love has been perfected in us. It's reached its goal. It's touched another person, that we might have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. How? How are we like him? Well, when you reach out to love someone, they can see the love of God through you. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, spiritually we are. We've got the enablement. We've got his gift within us of Holy Spirit. But we have to ask ourselves, am I really as he is? Can someone see the Heavenly Father through what I say and what I do? We need to ask that question, and then we need to take action on it so that we have boldness on the day of judgment. Verse 18. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Well, now let me go back and do verse 17 because I got to get a running start on this because they connect. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We want to have boldness. Next verse. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. What's John talking about? He's saying you're either going to be in fear on the day of judgment or you're going to have boldness on the day of judgment. When love is perfected in you, when you walk in love, it'll cast out that fear. So many people fear the day of judgment because they know they haven't done what they should. John says, I don't want you to live like that in fear. So love people with the love of God, and that love perfected in you will cast out fear. Not only fear in the realm of the final judgment, but fear of every day that God's not going to hear my prayer, or God doesn't love me, or God doesn't know what's going on. He does. But when we don't live in the Word of God, when we don't act on the Word of God, then we have doubts and worries and fears. John says, I don't want you to live like that. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That's the verse, verse 21, that you can use when people say, is God all alone? You can say, no, he has a brother. Because it says, he who loves God must love his brother. I'm theologically smart. I think you got John's point. How can you really say you love God when you're not sharing that love of God with other people? John's going to say later on in chapter 5 that how can you really say you love people if you don't love God? It's tied in together. One, if you breathe in, you have to do what? Breathe out. If you love God, you have to love your fellow believers. If you love your fellow believers, it's obvious that you do what? That you love God. Now, I know sometimes loving people is not really easy. Sometimes people do things to you that cause you to suffer deep wounds. Sometimes even Christians can do things that really hurt one another. And so you can think to yourself, well, you know, I don't know if I can love that person. I don't know if I can love like the Bible asks me to. Or sometimes we say, I'm just not going to love that person. They've done too much to hurt me, or I don't want to love those people. I don't like those people. The commandment is, we must love one another just as God has loved us. There's not an exception clause. I looked for one all week. Let me see. There's got to be an exception clause in here somewhere. There's not. And if love were easy, John wouldn't belabor the point. But the fact that he tells us over and over and over again, it's because it's not always easy. Sometimes it's really hard. But the love of God is not a feeling. It's a decision. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Because we were worthy of that love? No. It's because he made a decision to act in grace. And he says, now that you are my children, you can do the same thing. And we can. We can. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. So let's make the decision to be those kind of people. Because we are. And we can make a difference in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Thank you for the Apostle John. Thank you for all the men and women throughout the ages who have stood on your word, whose shoulders we stand upon now. And may we be those kind of people for the next generation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.